Welcome to Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
This past month, we've been unpacking Jesus' most famous teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. We call the series The Disciples' Life because we are to follow Jesus in lifestyle, not just in belief. Yes? Beginning of July, we unpacked the formation of a disciple's heart, which were the first four verses of our scripture, of the Sermon on the Mount. And 2 weeks ago, we unpacked the next verses looking at the fruit of the disciple's heart. He forms the heart first, and then from a formed heart, we are to carry the fruit of mercy, purity, peacemaking, and even joy in persecution. If you have not heard those messages, please go to the podcast and have a listen. However, everything that Jesus has been building in us is not just meant to stay inside of us. You see, Jesus shifts from talking about who we are becoming in the scripture to the impact we're meant to have. You're meant to have an impact in your community. You are meant to be impactful. And so right here in the scripture, which we're going to look at a little later on, Jesus uses two simple but very powerful images, salt and light. So I've titled this message, The Disciple's Life, The Influence of the Disciple, because you are called to influence. Our scripture this morning and where we've been reading out of, and I would really highly recommend you, if you've got your Bibles, grab them out because I want you to underline a couple of words. But I would really highly recommend that you read the Sermon on the Mount. Go and read it over, because it'll also make sense what I've been teaching. It'll make more sense as well as you read through it. But we're going to pick up this morning from Matthew 5 verses 13, and it says this: "You are the salt of the earth." Underline the word "are." You are the salt of the earth. Underline the word of the earth. "But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Verse 14, "You are the light of the world." Underline the word "are" and underline the word "of." You are the light of the world. "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone." Underline "everyone" in the house. "And it gives light to everyone in the house." Verse 16, "In the same way, you let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds," underline your good deeds, "and glorify your Father," underline that word, your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. It gives light to everyone. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. But before we dive into the whole salt and light, I want you to see how Jesus perfectly connects this to the Beatitudes that we've already studied. He's not shifting topics. He's not shifting topic. It's not like, okay, well, we'll start talking about this. He's actually showing us progression from formed hearts. He's formed the hearts in the beginning. From the formed hearts, we carry the fruit in our growing life. And now what he's saying to us is the world should taste and see the kingdom through you. The heart was formed, you carry the fruit. Now the world should taste and see the kingdom through you. It's not random. Jesus is building with purpose. Jesus always builds with purpose. Scripture always builds with purpose. He shapes your heart first so that your life can be impactful. It's a pattern. Have a look. In this scripture, though, he's saying that your life can be impactful by being salt and being light. So my question is, how does that come about? What does that really mean? So we're going to unpack two things, salt and light. We start off with verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. We've got to realize back in Jesus' day, salt wasn't a luxury. Salt wasn't there just to flavor food like it is today. We have to realize basically that salt was a lifeline, that salt was a necessity. Salt in Jesus' day was all about preservation. In a world without fridges, in a world without freezers, salt kept things from rotting. It held back decay. It preserved what was good. So Jesus comes to us and says, you are the salt of the earth. He's actually saying something very, very powerful. He's actually saying this to you. You are to preserve what is good on the earth. You are to preserve what is good of the earth. Take note of the word of and not in. He didn't say in the earth. He said of the earth. Of speaks to identity. Sons and daughters. Of speaks to origin. We're not talking about location. If it was in the earth, it would have meant location. But it's not. It's of the earth. It speaks of identity and origin. So we got to look back, way back to the beginning in Genesis. In Genesis, humanity was formed from what? The earth. From the dust. Are you there? Normally you guys are the rowdy ones compared to so let's get a little bit rowdy, okay? So in Genesis, humanity was formed from the earth, from the dust. And then it was filled with a divine breath. What is happening here in Matthew is Jesus is reviving that purpose. You see, you were formed from the earth. Now he's assigning you to preserve the earth. He's assigning you to preserve it. In other words, he's saying to you, you were made for this place. He's saying to you, you are meant to affect it. He's saying to you, you are actually my ingredient to transform it. You are God's ingredient to transform the earth. You are the agent of change. Salt is an agent of change. You are an agent of change. You are an atmosphere shifter because you are a son or a daughter of God and you are filled with his presence. You are the salt of the earth. Take note the word earth. Earth means, when you go and have a look at it, it means the physical everyday realm. It means your environment. It means your relationships. It means your workplaces and your communities. You are the salt of your environment. You are the salt of your relationships. You are the salt of your workplaces, your communities, your schools, wherever you are. You are to preserve what is good of the earth in those places. Where? The earth. That's massive responsibility. Look at your neighbor and go, whoa. Okay, that was really weak. Look at the other neighbor and go, whoa. That's better. My gosh, you're making me sweat here. 2 years and now you're making me sweat. But here's a question. JJ, is there any good in the earth? I've heard many people say that. I want to say to you, stop saying that. Stop saying, don't ever say that again. Is there any good in the earth? Yes, there is good. His name is God. His name is God. Oh, let me give you scripture. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. He is good. Question, where is God? Where is God right now? Here. He chooses to reside in you and in me. Therefore, if he is good and he is residing in you and me, you are good. I am good. Whoa, that's a concept. Go and chew on that one. You are good. You are the salt. So therefore, you are to hold back moral and spiritual decay. Your life is mandated to slow down the corruption of sin in your home. Your life is mandated to slow down the corruption of sin in workplaces, in culture, in societies, in communities, in cities, in nations, and the world. Massive responsibility. This is who you are. You are the salt. You are to be influential for righteousness. For righteousness, right living with God. But JJ, how do we do this? I'm glad you asked. I thought you were going to ask. I put a table together. 5 points. One, point number one. Stand for truth when it's unpopular. How are you a salt? How are you influential for righteousness? Stand for truth when it's unpopular. In the culture that normalizes lies and moral confusion, speak truth in love. Example, in your workplace, if others are gossiping or spreading half-truths, what do? You choose integrity, even if it costs you socially. Philippians 2, 15 to 16 says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. As you hold firmly to the word of life, you will be like stars amongst them. You will be shining your light. Point number two, refuse to compromise your values. Salt doesn't blend in. I don't know if you've noticed this. Salt doesn't blend in and become unnoticeable. Anybody put salt in your tea instead of sugar? It doesn't just disappear. It makes a statement. Sorry, Russ, but that was intended. Salt doesn't blend in and become unnoticeable. It influences and then changes the environment. Example, a business. When you pressure to cut corners to be dishonest, guess what? You choose what is right over what is easy, and that choice holds back the decay in your company, in your industry, in your home, in your work, wherever you are. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Point number three, live a pure and holy life. Your character sets the standard. Your purity in relationship, your purity in your own relationship with yourself and God, your purity and your faithfulness in your marriage, your humility in leadership, etc., etc., that is living a pure and holy life. It sets a standard. Example, in a friend group that mocks purity, celebrates sin, your life quietly sets a different tone. Quietly. You're not preaching at them. You're not preaching. You are actually preserving a higher standard by living it. Being the salt. By living it. Let your light shine so before others they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. Point number four, raise children to know and love Jesus. I'm speaking to parents and all those who will be parents. Hello, what is happening in our youth communities at this point? The youth crime is off the rocker. Listen to this. You hold back generational decay by disciplining and discipling your kids to love what is good and reject what is evil. Yes, I use the double D, disciplining and discipling. You see, the example is teaching your children to pray, teaching your children to read the Bible, teaching your children to honor you, teaching your children to honor the elderly. It's disgusting. Teaching your children just to honor people, teaching your children to stand for the truth is doing what? It's preserving the goodness of the future. I'm on a train in the Gold Coast, packed with kids, Pauline and I, packed with school-going kids. An elderly person climbs in, and I've got to say this. There was one Islander young man who got up and offered his seat. You know why? Because he's been disciplined at home. He's been told to respect his elders. Come on, Parents, we've got to hear this. You see, Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not return from it. Start children off. It's your responsibility as parents to start children off on the way they should go, and that should be to know and love Jesus. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Hebrews is a great scripture, 12 verses 10 to 11. It talks about God disciplining us or disciplining his kids. Who's your kid? Here, the majority, I saw two hands. You're liars. We're all his kids. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. Listen to what it's saying. God disciplines us for our good so that we can share in his holiness. Verse 11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But then it says, later on, everybody say later on. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. By what? By the discipline. What does it produce? Righteousness and peace. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Discipline is not about punishment. Discipline is about training for life and godliness. Chris Vallotton said this. Chris Vallotton is one of the pastors in Bethel. He says, address the heart and attitudes before they become actions. We wait until the kid has an action and an attitude, and then we want to address it. Too late. Too late. Address the heart and the attitudes before they become actions. I want to tell you, in my house, there are no attitudes. Are there, Elizabeth? No, there are not. And if the kids ever decide that they want to have an attitude, guess what? I sniff it out. And what do I say? Oi, no attitudes in this house. Is that right, Elizabeth? And if you have an attitude, go and sort it out quickly, or otherwise I'll sort it out. Guess what? Attitude dissipates like that. What have I addressed? The heart. I've addressed the heart. Hear what I'm saying? And also another thing, I also want to say this to fathers in this place. And if you want to go to become a father, if I pick up that my kids at any way have a little bit of a, there's a hint of an attitude in the way they speak to them, to my wife, to their mother, I say, oi, she was my wife first before she was your mother. You dare not speak to her that way. Do you understand? She's the queen of my heart. Come on. What am I teaching? To know and love Jesus. 5, intercede in prayer. Salt purifies and preserves. Guess what? Prayer does the same. When you pray for your city, when you pray for your workplace, when you pray for someone trapped in sin, guess what you're doing? You're holding back the decay through spiritual warfare. Because you're the salt. You're holding back that decay. You fast and pray for a friend abounding in addiction. Guess what? That spiritual salt that you are fights for their freedom. When you fast and pray for a marriage in trouble, that spiritual salt, that intercession fights for their reunion, fights for their union. Because in James 5:6 says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Does that sound like the effects of salt? The effects of salt. Did you notice something about all of these? Jesus isn't calling us to blend in. He's calling us to be effective. And through that, preserve what heaven values. Let me try this sign. He's calling us to be effective and preserve what heaven values. Young adults, I want to hear you over there, all right? When Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, he's saying this, you prevent decay in a world that's spoiling. Think about it. Salt doesn't shout. Salt works quietly, but effectively and powerfully. But the reality is this, salt only works when it's applied. If that salt sachet sits on a table and is never opened, it's actually useless. Am I right? I hope you never look at a salt sachet the same again. If there's a salt grinder on the table and you don't pick it up and grind the salt, that salt in there is absolutely useless. Am I right? I hope you never look at a salt grinder again. The same again. This is what Jesus is saying. Are you ready for it? If we just keep our faith sealed up, if we just keep our faith hidden or unused, we're salt, remember? We choose not to use our influence. We choose. It's a choice. We choose not to use our influence. And the result is the world goes to hell. Wow. JJ, are you saying what I think you're saying? Uh-huh. Can you just repeat that for me again, please? You really want to hear it? All right, I'll repeat it. If you remain sealed, if you remain hidden or on a table unused, people are going to hell because your choice is to not be effective. Now, that's your cue to go gulp. We are called to be salt. We are called to be effective. We are meant to get out of the package. We are meant to get out of our comfort. We are meant to get out of the ordinary, the mundane. We are meant to get out of our routine Christianity. We are meant to get out of the fear of man, the consumer mentality. We are meant to get out of spiritual apathy into the world to do what? To stop the decay, to release kingdom flavor. Look at this. Jesus told us a thing. He taught us how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is that not the same as bringing kingdom flavor? That's kingdom flavor right there. You see, Jesus didn't call you to be the salt of the earth to leave you in a packet, happy because you're comfortable. No, he didn't call you to be comfortable. He formed your heart so that you can be the impact of the earth, meaning your physical everyday realm, your environment, your relationships, your workplaces, your schools, your unis, your community, wherever you go in. Be the salt. Be the salt. Everybody take a breath. Good. He's over. Shoo, that was tough. Verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. Everybody read that. You are the light. You are the light of the world. World in the Greek is cosmos. World in the Greek means bigger. It represents systems and cultures and societies. The visible external realms of influence. Guess what? Your responsibilities have just gone to a bigger and newer level. This is a new level. We're talking about not of the earth. We're talking about of the world. You are the light of the world. Emphasis on the of. Why do you think he uses of and not to? Again, because it speaks of identity. It speaks of ownership. Jesus is not saying you don't just shine toward the world. He's saying to you, you are God's chosen light within the world. Your very presence carries light because you belong to him and he has placed light in you. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Let me clarify, 1 John 1:5. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So therefore, because God is light, he lives in you through the Holy Spirit, you are light. And therefore, your presence carries truth. Your presence releases light. Your presence pushes back the darkness. Your presence brings clarity. Wherever there is darkness, you are it. Let me say this. Nobody has ever, ever, ever said to me they like the darkness. Anybody here like the darkness? What do we do when we walk into a dark place? We look for the light switch. We want the light switch. Where's that light switch? You see, light is powerful. It's powerful.
And where there's one light, can you see me? One light makes a difference. No, put the other lights off. Just the one light. And makes a difference. One light makes a difference. So here, on my left-hand side, I want you to take your phones out. Everybody take your phones out. You're not allowed to put your light on unless you're on the left-hand side. Left-hand side, put your lights on. Put your phone lights on. Not in the middle. I said left-hand side. Left-hand side. There you go. Everybody's lights up. This is the only time you're going to get permission to use your phone. Right. All right. Nobody in the right. Put that flashlight away. In the middle. Nobody in. On the right-hand side. All you young adults. Put on your, there you go, all of you. I know you've got your phones. Don't lie to me now. All right, look at that. Right. Now, all of you on the left and right, I want you to shine into the middle. Whoa. I can actually see faces. Joel, I see you. Stop scratching your nose. Hi. You see what the difference that makes? All right, everybody in the middle, I know you're burning. Put on your lights. All right. Everybody's lights on. Young adults, don't put it away. There you go. Everybody, there's a whole patch there in the middle. You haven't got your lights on. We're not going on until you, there you go. I see that one little light coming out. This little light of mine, I'm going. You're better than the 9 o'clock service. I'm going. Okay, enough, right. Put your light, don't put them off. Don't put them off. Hide them. I don't want to see them. And then on the left-hand side, we're going to do a wave. We're going to start on the left-hand side. On the count of three, you're going to lift up your, and it's going to be a wave all the way to the other side. Left-hand side to the right-hand side. Nobody in the middle until it's your turn. Are you ready? Left-hand side, are you ready? All right. Left-hand side. There was not just two of you. There were many. Are you ready? All right. One, two, three. Whoa. Okay, and back. One, two, three. Whoa. Okay, all right. We've had enough play. All right. All right, put on the lights. Let's move on. Does that prove the point? Come on. Does that prove the point? Come on, you can give God a clap. It was His. This is what it's all about. You shining your light. One light makes a difference. But when the church starts shining its light, whew, feel God on this one. Dark patch. Sorry, I'm picking on you. They shine their lights. They shine their lights. All of a sudden, they can see the light. Where is a moth drawn to? Where does a moth live? In the darkness. The world is dark. They're looking for the light. You are it. You are it. You are it. You are nobody else. You are it. You see, when you have a look at the next scripture, we see that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. They are together. Why? Because they represent influence. Together, they represent that you are to be influential, spiritual impact, and divine insight. When you show kindness to someone who doesn't deserve it, you release spiritual impact and shine with divine insight. When you forgive instead of holding a grudge, you release spiritual impact and reveal divine insight. You show the world that there's a better way to do things. When you choose purity, guess what? In a world of compromise, you carry spiritual impact and your life radiates. Radiates the divine insight. When you speak about Jesus at your workplace or in your family, you're shining your light with spiritual impact and lifting divine insight high for everybody in that place to see. Just a little bit of light influences. A little bit. One torch. One little torch. Just a little bit of light influences and can transform a whole environment. You are the light. The question is, you call for influence, but what influence are you currently releasing? Are you currently releasing kingdom influence, or are you currently releasing worldly influence? You see, Jesus ends a section, and if I can have Danny jump up with me, that'll be great. Jesus ends a section by saying, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Hold on. Is there good in the world? you. All right, let's read that again. That they may see your good deeds. You getting this? Your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Notice our light is not to glorify us. Look at me, look at me. Insta, Facebook. No, no, no. Your light is to glorify him. Our light is not to show how good I am, but to reveal how good he is. Because guess what? When you reveal how good he is, people will be drawn. People will be drawn. And your job is to then be the salt. Stop the decay. Point them to Jesus. I'm excited. I'm really excited about our family. But I want to tell you, family, and everybody visiting us as well, you are mandated by heaven to carry his flavor and shine his light. It's not an option. Say to your neighbor, it's not an option. Say to your other neighbor, you didn't listen. It's not an option. It's not an option. You are mandated, strong word, mandated to, in other words, that's what you're called for. You are mandated by heaven to carry his flavor and shine his light. Why do I say that? He doesn't say try to be salt, try to be light. He says you are the salt and you are mandated. You are the light of the world. In other words, influence isn't something you have to force. It's who you are. Influence is not something you have to force. You are influence. You are influence. You are salt. You are light. You are influence. Don't have to force it. Just be it. Just be it. Identity. You are of identity. That's where you belong. You see, it's a natural overflow of the heart that's been formed by him. Natural overflow of the heart. But here's the key. Important key. Salt only works when it's released. Light only works when it's released. Not saying when it's switched on. You are the light. It's under a basket. You're too afraid, too ashamed to let people know that you're a believer. Hello, hello. People are going to hell because of that. I know it's tough, but it's truth. Get the basket. Get out of the basket. Shine your light. Let me tell you, you carry something that the world needs. You have an anointing upon your life. You have a calling on your life. You have a destiny. You are mandated for greatness. He knitted you in your mother's womb. He wrote all the days of your life in his book before there was one. That says to me destiny. That says to me greatness. If God Almighty was the one that was with you, forming you in your mother's womb, guess what? God Almighty, he's got a plan and a purpose for you. Part of it is to be salt and be light. So here's my challenge. Where's Jesus calling you to sprinkle salt this week? Maybe it's after the service. Maybe you're going to the pizza place. Your pizza comes out and there's a cockroach on it. Shine the light. Maybe there's a worm in your salad or a hair in your salad. All those people are healthy. Shine your light. Be the salt. Where is he asking you to uncover your light? Your workplace, your family, your school, your business. Church, the world is hungry for the flavor of the kingdom.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening